We've been talking about this word Advent, which some of us knew and some of us have heard a lot about. It's this liturgical word that traditional churches oftentimes will talk about. The word Advent simply means coming, or the word arrival. It is a season of preparation for something that is coming. Very simply, in the context here of Christmas, Advent is preparing ourselves for Christmas, preparing ourselves to properly celebrate and remember the birth of Jesus. And we've been talking about why this matters, because we live in an American culture where Christmas is so commercialized that it's chaos. And we've been talking about how some of the chaos is fantastic, and we love the season of Christmas, and we have gifts, and we have family, and all of that type of stuff. But some of the chaos also leads to us overlooking at times what this is really about, remembering that what Jesus did and that season. And so we're being purposeful this season. We're setting ourselves up to experience Jesus this Christmas. The traditional Advent calendar, in the liturgical sense, is built around four different words, and we've been talking about these. The first week we talked about the word hope and how our hope is not tied to our earthly circumstances. Our hope is in a God who sent his son and has already won. Okay, and so we have hope, and we find hope in that. Week number two, we talked about the word peace, a word that seems to come up again and again in the scripture. And we talked about having peace with God through what he did when he sent Jesus, and how we were enemies in a way because of our sin, but now we have peace with God as we are reconciled, but also the peace of God, a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that is not tied to our earthly circumstances, which, by the way, seems to be kind of a theme through this season of not being tied to the circumstances and the things that we face, and we're going to see that again today. But we talked about peace in the storm, a peace that is beyond anything we could ever understand, okay? And if you missed any of those, you can find those messages on our website, and you can watch any of our past messages. They go back to like 2013 or something. And so if you want to go back and see when I was even more attractive than I am now, you can do that. Okay, I was skinnier, and I had, all right, I don't know where that came from, Sarah. That I shouldn't have said that. Should, no, yeah, okay. All right. But all of that brings us to today, week number three of our Advent series. The word for today is joy. And let's begin by taking a moment to pray together. So please stand with me all over this place. And let's pray, and let's just kind of invite God into this moment right here, right now. Come on. So God, we open up our hearts to you. We sit on the edge of our seats. We sit here and stand here expectant, God, expecting you to move and expecting you to speak through your very word. And so God, we just give this to you, oh God, and it's in the powerful, life-changing name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen. All right, glare at somebody and sit down. I don't know what we're doing. In a sarcastic, fun, glaring way. All right, question. How many of you have ever been to a Twins game? Come on, look at all those people. How many, this is going to kind of see how old we are. How many of you ever went to a Twins game at Met Stadium in Bloomington? Okay, that would have been 1961 through 1981. So if you went, you are older than I am, is what that means. How many of you went to a Twins game at the Metrodome, like the bubble downtown with the rubber fake grass? And okay, that was 1982 through 2009. And how many of you have been to Target Field, the new place? That was 2010. They built that. Okay, so a lot of us have been to Twins games. The reason we're talking about this is I want to give you kind of a glimpse into my childhood here. Going to Twins games, like, it's one of my greatest memories as a child. Something that I looked forward to, something that was important to me and my family. When we get to my birthday, my parents would say, like, 8-year-old Kyle, what do you want to do for your birthday? And I would say, I want to go to a Twins game. And we would go buy the $4 cheap tickets. We'd sit up way out in right field. You couldn't even read the numbers on the back of the guys. and you would we would sit out there, and I loved going to Twins games. You'd get overpriced hot dogs and nachos, and did any of you, when you went, did you ever sneak food in? My mom would hate that I said this, but we used to shove licorice and stuff in purses and go into the game because it was $140 for licorice there. How many of you know what I'm talking about, okay? Don't tell the police that we used to do this. This is not okay. All right. But as a kid, there were two things that I dreamed of happening when I went to a Twins game. The first one is I wanted to be on the big screen. Okay, you got the camera go around in between, and these stadiums have these massive screens up on the sides in different places, and in between the innings or the pitches or whatever, they would put pictures, and they often found kids, and they would put, and so you'd have live video feed of someone there on the screen, and it was like, someday I'm going to be on the big screen, and it's going to be awesome. Anyone remember that? Yes. Okay, and the second dream, which was actually probably the number one dream as a kid, the ultimate amazing thing that could happen at a Twins game would be to catch a ball, like to catch a foul ball or to catch a home run. And I mean, could you imagine? As a 7, 8, 9-year-old, we used to bring our gloves to the game. We would sit like 900 feet away from home plate. No one has ever hit the ball that far in the history of the world, but we're sitting there with our gloves just in case somebody breaks the, you know, this, like, to catch a ball was the ultimate type of things. Some adults even still bring their glove. Well, okay, skip ahead 30 years in my life to last year, 2019. I went to a Twins game with actually a good friend from church. I don't see him here today. Maybe he'll come second service because I'm going to need him to verify this in that service, okay? And we're sitting much better seats now that I'm a little older. And so we were sitting just a little bit past third base on the lower deck, maybe only like five rows up, really good seats. We had a great time. And I'm watching the game, and the Twins are in the field, and the batter hits this like high foul ball totally in my direction, and I'm watching it just like everybody else. You're staring up at this ball, and I, as it's up there, I'm like, that thing, it's coming at me, you know, like this is coming at me, and it comes down, and it's coming lower and lower, and everyone around you, everyone raises their hands like this all the time. They can be, you know, 50 feet in every direction. Everybody's going like this, and the thing keeps coming down at me, and it falls literally right into the seat where I am sitting. Like, I'm serious. It comes down, and it comes right into my hands, and I drop it. I didn't bring my glove. And I drop the ball, and lucky for me, the thing falls straight down to my feet. I reach over, and I pick it up. And in 2019, last year, I caught a foul ball at the Twins game. Come on, somebody. Well, sort of. I dropped the foul ball and picked it up, but I have it, and it sits on a shelf in my office, okay? There's no punchline, but I caught the foul ball, all right? That's it. But it was an incredible, like, it was a fun moment for me, a special moment. Why? Because it was filled with all sorts of nostalgia from when I was a kid. The feelings that I felt. I remember going to the games and watching the random lucky person who got to, okay, and all of those. And I look back at that moment, and I remember the joy that I felt even as an adult catching or getting a foul ball at Target Field. Now, this morning we're talking about joy, which is by definition, simply this, a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. A feeling of great pleasure and happiness. And we can all look back on our lives, can't we? And we remember moments in our lives that were filled with joy, moments of joy. Maybe it was a Christmas for you that you remember as a child, like giving or receiving a gift or something, and you have that memory in your, like, or having a special moment with your family that was filled with joy. Maybe it was like a sports game that you watched that filled you with joy. The Minnesota Miracle, where Stephon Diggs caught the pass and he wasn't supposed to, and the Vikings beat the Saints in the playoffs, and maybe for you that was a moment of joy for you. All sorts of things can bring us joy. Like we feel joy when we buy things. We really do. You go buy a new car for the family. There's joy as you drive it home. Ladies, you buy that pair of pants or that sweater from Sprinkle of Joy or wherever it is, okay? All right? They go to our church, and so that's why we threw them out. Like, you can feel joy in that moment as you make that purchase. You can feel joy when you sit down and you eat a good meal. And you grill, like, steaks or burgers or whatever your thing is, and you cut into that thing, and you're like, yes, we did it. All right? And you can feel joy. And of course, there are moments of joy in our lives that are bigger than baseball games or eating food or buying something. Moments like your wedding day, your kids being born. Like, the list goes on and on. My point here as we kind of get into this today is our lives are filled with moments of joy. With moments of joy. And I've purposely used the word moments in this because that's what we find joy and where we find joy in this world. From one moment to the next. Joy for us is a momentary thing. A moment is just a brief period of time. We have this brief period of time where we experience this joy from something that has happened or something that we're doing or like that. But if we're honest about these moments in our lives, and maybe you're thinking about some, we understand that now these moments are nothing more than memories. Okay, think about this with me. Those things that brought us joy in that moment no longer bring us joy in the same way anymore. Now they are simply memories. They're good memories that we think about. Sure, it's fun for me to tell the story of catching a baseball at Target Field, and it sits on like a shelf, and people come in, and I say, look what I got, it's a baseball, okay? That's fun for me, but that moment is gone. And the joy that I felt in that moment is no longer there. What I'm left with now is a memory. And even the moments of my children being born, incredible, massive moments in my life that filled me with joy in, like, understand, they are no longer moments of joy for me. They are memories that I look back on. And of course, I have all sorts of new moments of joy with my children and some moments of not joy. Parents, you understand what I'm talking about. But like those original moments were temporary. They were temporary. They were there for a brief time. And now I am on to a new moment. And here's why this matters. And I hope that you're following me with all this. As people, our natural instinct, our natural tendencies is to find the next moment of joy in our life. That's why we buy things that we don't need. Because we like the way, we like the joy that we feel from that purchase or that thing. That's why we watch sports games, by the way. Okay, we're hoping for that moment of joy. That's why we watch movies. That's why we play video games. That's why we listen to music and eat candy bars. It's why we do these things. It's why we take our kids to the park. Like, the list goes on and on. Our lives, in a way, are built around finding that next moment of joy in our lives. And that's not a bad thing. That's just how things are. But understand with me what this means. It means that our overall happiness in life begins to be completely linked to the things that happen and the things that we experience. But when things fall apart in our lives, where does that leave us? If we are searching for the next moment of joy at every turn in everything we do, which is not a bad thing, it's a normal way to live, but if that is determining our happiness and our satisfaction in life, what happens when things fall apart? What happens when you get the news that someone you love is sick? What happens when you physically are no longer able to live your normal life? What happens when those children that brought you joy are now no longer in the picture of your life? What happens when your marriage falls apart and all of these things? If your life is tied to the moments of joy that you are trying to find, then you will also experience the other side of that when things begin to fall apart. All right? So the Bible paints a different picture of the word joy, a different definition. And very much like the word peace, which we talked about last week, and very much like we talked about hope the week before, the joy we read about in the Bible doesn't seem to be intertwined with what we experience here on earth. And I want to show you this. Okay, there's a different kind of joy. So let's look to the Bible. Last week, we looked at a passage of scripture from a book called Philippians, Philippians chapter number 4. And we read about the Apostle Paul writes this letter, and he talks about this supernatural peace of God. Well, if we would have backed up two verses from what we read last week, we would have read about joy. Let me show you this. Okay, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. Here's what it says. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. And then we get to what we read last week, verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace. We looked at that, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, interesting here, back to the word joy. He writes, always be full of the joy of the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. What we have here is a command. This is not like it would be good for you here. He is telling his audience that he's writing to what to do. And in telling them what to do, he tells them, okay, always be full of the joy of the Lord. Now, what makes this difficult is that typically a feeling is not something that you can just decide to do. Like, Paul is asking us to always be full of the joy of the Lord, to always be full of the feeling or the emotion of joy in the Lord. But if we're realistic about this, you cannot just kind of snap your fingers and decide to feel joy. Joy doesn't work like that. For example, okay, if you're out camping and you wake up in the middle of the night and you are in a tent and you see a silhouette of a grizzly bear on the outside and it's growling and it's ferocious and, okay, and like, you don't say, now, let me think about this for a moment. There's a bear. Bears are big. Bears are dangerous. This bear is not good. Conclusion, I should feel fear now. So I'm going to decide now to be afraid. It doesn't work like that, does it? Like a feeling doesn't, like feelings don't, you see a hungry, angry, dangerous animal right outside your tent and you feel fear. It just happens. It is an overflow from that situation and your emotions and your feelings come out in that way. You don't decide to just do this. So as we read this, we should be filled with this sense of like, wait a minute, Paul. What you talking about? I can't just decide to always feel joy. In fact, always feeling joy doesn't even really seem possible, especially in the definition that we read in our dictionary today and what we think about as the moments of joy. Unless this is something different. Now, to confuse things even more, let me show you John chapter 15. These are the words of Jesus. He says this. He says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Okay? Two things from Jesus about the word joy. First, Jesus' joy can be in us. He says, so my joy may be in you. The joy of Jesus can be in you and in me. What does that mean? Joy is a feeling. It's something you feel. How can Jesus' feeling be in us? Okay, that's interesting. Second, Jesus says our joy can be complete. Well, what in the world is that? How can a feeling be complete? The only possible explanation is that both Paul and Jesus are talking about a different kind of joy. Would you agree? Like our definition of the word joy that we read about in Webster's dictionary, this feeling of good pleasure, feeling of happiness, does not work in the same way that Jesus and Paul are talking. It doesn't work that way. Buying something, going somewhere, opening a gift, catching a baseball, winning a game. And this is great news for us. Let me tell you why. Because like we talked about in just a moment ago, in all of those things, the feeling of joy is a temporary thing. It's a feeling that is there for a moment, but then disappears, and we move on trying to find the next feeling of joy, and we remember what we once felt. All right? Chasing momentary joy is part of being alive, but understand it will always leave you a bit empty. It will always leave you a bit lacking, and it will always leave you searching for the next moment. You know that? We've talked about this in the past, where like when you go buy something at a store, and you get home, like, and then you realize a little bit later, this is not quite as cool as I thought it was. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right, absolutely. So what exactly is the joy that we read about in the Bible? Let me give you a quick definition pieced together from different things in the scripture. And then we'll talk about this kind of just briefly. All right, Christian joy is a feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ and what he's done in the world. All right, that I know that's a little bit theological here for some. Let's quickly talk this through. The joy of the Lord is not a temporary feeling. It is so much bigger than that. The joy of the Lord is not linked to our earthly situations and our earthly circumstances. It's this deep down, on the inside, lasting, powerful feeling that you cannot create on your own. You cannot make it happen. You cannot decide to feel that. It's a feeling that only comes when the Holy Spirit of God enlightens a person to who Jesus is and to what he has done in the world. Now, I know you've heard of the Holy Spirit before. Even if this is your first time here, you grew up probably saying God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You've said that, but maybe you have no idea what in the world that even means. When you commit your life to Jesus and become a Christian, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit fills us. The Holy Spirit, that is, okay, it is a part of God. It is God who comes inside of us and begins to work, begins to speak to us in our minds, begins to show us things that we need to adjust and change and help us and convict us and move us along and all of those types of things. Things you need to do, things you should avoid. The Holy Spirit works inside of us as Christians. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is he helps us to understand. Helps us to understand Jesus. In fact, at one point, Jesus even says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. It's this idea of Jesus is going to leave, the Holy Spirit's going to come and dwell inside of us. Before Jesus, this was not the case. Jesus came, Jesus leaves, the Holy Spirit fills us, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak and move and all of those types of things. And as the Holy Spirit of God begins to illuminate the greatness of Jesus Christ inside of you and what he has done, we begin to see the beauty of that, and there is fruit that overflows. We could call those the fruit of the Spirit, couldn't we? Okay, Galatians chapter 5, we have this laid out. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Holy Spirit works inside of Christians. One of the things that comes from this process is a deep down, powerful, life-changing joy that is not based on the junk you're facing. It is based on this inside knowledge and understanding of Jesus and what he has done. All right, it's the joy of Jesus, and it can be made complete in us. All right, now we're going to wrap this up. Music team, though, you can please come. Okay, here's why we build this whole case. Because some of you are like, okay, great. I want you to understand something. Okay, if you are sleeping, I know you stayed up late last night and played video games trying to find joy or whatever else, but I need you to come back to me right now, all right? I need you to understand something. You can spend your whole life trying to find satisfaction here on earth. You like trying to fill the emptiness, trying to fill the void, trying to find what you are missing in this life. But understand, you were made to be in relationship with your Creator. And very simply, without that, you will never find what you are looking for. You'll never find it. Because you were created to be in right relationship with God. It's this beautiful thing, and there is a supernatural peace. We talked about it last week. There is a deep down, powerful, life-changing joy that comes through God the Holy Spirit working in and through us. And I'm asking you this Christmas season, wherever you're at in your journey, wherever to turn your face towards Him, to turn towards Jesus in a new way, in a bigger way than you ever have before, with everything you are and everything you have. Like you may find yourself in a difficult season right now, as we prayed for earlier in such a powerful way. You may be struggling with your physical health. You may be struggling with your mental health. You may be struggling with your children or your family or whatever it is in your life right now. And joy is very simply not the word that you would use to describe this season for you. I believe that God the Holy Spirit wants to fill you with joy today. A joy that never ends, and a joy that isn't based on your circumstances. A joy that is deep-rooted joy in your soul. And I want to ask you to just close your eyes and just, in your own words, just begin to ask God to fill you with the joy that comes through knowing Him. And from knowing Him, ask the Holy Spirit to move, open your eyes, to change things for you, to fill you with a joy that isn't based on your circumstances. You know, you can experience the joy of Jesus in the midst of some of the most horrific things that you could ever imagine, because the joy of the Lord is not based on that. It is deeper than that. It's in your soul. It's deep down. It's special. No one looking around for just a moment. First, let me just kind of throw this out there. Maybe you're here today and you know that you are not right with God. Maybe you're watching online and maybe you're not a church person, or maybe you're a church person, but you have kind of been going through the motions for a long time, and you know that right now is your moment. It's your moment to turn to God. That's kind of the word of the Bible. Use the word repent. To kind of do a 180, where you were going the opposite direction, away from God. He's asking you to turn and go towards Him. And maybe you're here right now, and you very simply would say, "That's me, Pastor Kyle. I need to do that. I need to turn. I need to get right with God." If that's you, just quickly show me your hand. If you're watching this online right now, click this button that says respond or raise a hand or something like that. We're just going to take a moment for those that this is you today. This is for you right now. And I want us to kind of lead us. I want to lead us in a prayer. Everyone in this place can kind of pray with me. Pray this at home, right in your living room, if you're there. Let's pray. Pray, Father God, I turn to you today. Thank you for loving me and sending Jesus to die for me. Forgive me of my sins. And change my life. In your name I pray. Amen, amen. Can we put our hands together? Let's celebrate that for a moment. Now, before we go, let me kind of speak over you. A kind of a benediction is what this would be called. May you walk out these doors today filled with more of the joy of the Lord than you have ever experienced. A joy that cannot be understood. A joy that is not based on your circumstances, but a joy that is deep down, rooted in what God has done in you and through you and for the world. May you go in peace. May you go in hope. May you go in joy this season. Amen, amen, amen. All right, if you'd like to spend some time in prayer, please come and do that. Otherwise, thanks for coming today. Christmas Eve service coming up. Excited to see you there. You are dismissed.